Okay, good vach, everybody. It's chus to be together always. Amatzei Shabbos Kodesh, to learn, to grow, to gain chizik together. Always a special thank you to the Shriers for opening up their bias, to Eliza, to Sarit, to the whole mishpacha. Mirat Hashem, it should be a big chus. For only simcha and bracha for the entire Shrier mishpacha. Happens to be, I noticed, based on looking at something in my notes, that tonight is really we culminate two full years of Shiurim here. Tonight. We started Parshas Noach 2 years ago, having Shiur in this bias, which started out at first, was it once a month or once every other week? I don't even remember. It was sometime about a year ago we went to about every single week. We try our best to learn together, to grow together. So if we finish 2 years, this is starting the third year, which we know, Alpi the Torah, three is a chazakah. A chazakah has a strong strength to it and shows that it's something that is substantial and something very real and a part of us, and hopefully Bez Hashem. It should continue for many, many, many years to come. Mirat Hashem, we should be zoich and move this bias to Yishalayim HaKadosh. But the Torah and the learning should continue in the chizik we gain together. Bez Hashem Zbarach for many, many more years. So a few days ago, we had the ending of all the beautiful Yamim Tovim. It was probably very difficult for all of us. After going through that time in the year, Elul leading into Rosh Hashanah, Aser Shemei Tshuva, Yom Kippur, and then going into Sukkis, Hashanah Rabbah, Simchas Torah, Shmini Atzeres. We all had our highlights. But I'm sure each and every one of us felt a closeness to Hashem, Kirvas Elokim, during those days. It was hard to go back into the regular days. Baruch Hashem, we just had a Shabbos. Shabbos Kodesh, always a special time with Hashem. But just to repeat and review a Torah that we've said years ago. And if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure we said that this Torah in the first time we learned together in this house, which was right after Yantiv as well. That if you paid attention to Havdalah Matzei Yantiv, the Havdalah Matzei Simchas Torah. So unlike tonight, we made Havdalah a little bit ago, and we made Havdalah on a kais, and we made Havdalah with a ner, and we made Havdalah with besamim. But on Matzei Yantiv, there was no ner, there was no candle. So that makes sense, because on Yantiv, you're allowed to cook, you're allowed to use fire, there's no mavdil ben kodesh l'chol as far as using a fire. That makes sense. And the other reason we know we use a ner is because, and this week specifically, Bereishis, Matzei Shabbos was when Adam Rishon had fire for the first time, and it's a Shevach to Hashem. We praise Hashem that we have fire, which is so helpful in cooking and heating. Matzei Yantiv, it wasn't Matzei Shabbos, it wasn't the time when we found fire. So there was no fire, that makes sense. But why no Besamim? Besamim is to go and give us a chizak, a zoros, when we lose a neshama yisera. So some say there's no neshama yisera on Yantiv, only on Shabbos. But it's hard to understand, not getting into the depth of what a neshama yisera is. But seemingly a neshama yisera is some added level of ruchnias, some added level of spirituality, some feeling of closeness to Hashem that we don't have all week long. Don't we have that on Yantiv as well? Many Rishonim say we do have it on Yantiv as well. So according to those old, we have the Neshama Yisera on Yantiv. Why didn't we have Besamim on Matzei Yantiv? Which you need the Chizik when we lose that Neshama Yisera, just like after Shabbos. So because Yishlevi, the Heilige Berditchever, the Berditchever Rebbe, the Berditchever's Yartzeit was this past Thursday. So we're still 3 days after. So it's a schus to be able to share Torah from the Berditchever. The Berditchever explains that Shabbos and Yantiv are very different. Shabbos is a Kedusha that is created by the Ribbono Shel Olam. Shabbos is a Kedusha. Hashem decided every Shabbos, based on this past week's parasha, should be full of Kedusha at Shkia, at sunset, at Shabbos, and when it's over, it's over. Yantiv, we define when Yantiv is going to be. We define the Kedusha of Yantiv. How do we define when Yantiv is going to be? It's based on our, when we're Mekadesh, the new month. Now we have a set calendar, but really it should be when we see the new moon, and dependent on that is when Yantiv is going to fall out. So we, Klal Yisrael, creates the Kedusha. So Berditchever says, if it's a Kedusha from Hashem, that Kedusha is for a determined amount of time from Hashem. But when we create the Kedusha, and we put in our effort, and we create that holiness, it's also a very holy time. It also has the Nesham Yisera. But that Nesham Yisera sticks with us. That Nesham Yisera we could pull out of Yontif. So we don't need the Pesamim, because we don't lose the Nesham Yisera on Yontif. That's what the B'dishva says. It's a big lesson psychologically in life, just in what we put our effort into, and what we put serious time and energy into, has much more substance to it, and sticks with us a much longer time. It's important to understand in our Avodas Hashem in general. But the Chizik teaching every one of us tonight, a few days after all the beautiful Yom Tovim, Lefivis Bardichever, all that we gained over Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Shmini Atzeret, Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, Simchat Torah, it's all still with us. And we should feel it. And we should take it into the year with that deep closeness to Hashem. And it was a schus then to enter into Shabbos just a few days after Yontif and have this first Shabbos, Shabbos Bereishis, opening up a new cycle of learning, going through Torah again. So I wanted tonight to learn together something very, very, very special. I'm very excited to give over this year tonight, to be honest. I'm always, I shouldn't say I'm not excited to give over all Torah, to try to, it's a schus to always share Torah. But specifically to talk to women on this topic, I learned this Torah earlier in the week, what this is based upon from my Rebbe, the Shvili Pinchas, Pinchas Friedman Shlita. It's based on a Torah that I saw, when I saw this Torah, I mamish was so excited to give this over to you. Because every woman needs to hear what we're about to learn tonight. Every woman needs to hear this Torah to understand your precious place in Avodas Hashem. Your precious place as a Bas Torah, your precious place when it comes to what Tafkid HaChaim, what the purpose of a woman's life is. Because sometimes we hear ideas and it gets a little bit confusing. Sometimes it sounds, based on certain sources and based on what some people say, and this is completely wrong, but that a woman's role in Avodas Hashem is inferior. It's a little bit less. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which is so precious, is more so for men than for women. And let's be real, sometimes it feels that way. Simchas Torah, I'm sure, was very beautiful for all of us. But you were standing watching us dance. I'm sure some of you were thinking, I would love to be dancing. I would love to be celebrating in such a way. We have to appreciate there are obviously different roles for a man and for a woman in life, and therefore as an Eved Hashem. This is one of the areas of life that in our generation has become very confusing in the secular world, which is so sad. If they understood for a moment the world we live in, the quote-unquote liberal world that we live in, which has been creating such confusion in these areas. They say that they're based on trying to appreciate and accept and give respect to every human being. But ultimately, if you look to the depth of it, it's a lack of understanding. It's lack of appreciation to the different roles of a man and a woman. And recognizing that they're just as precious, just as important, but different. And they're not willing to appreciate the differences in life. Not better or worse, but different. It's very scary because it causes tremendous destruction, as we see in next week's parasha, where a lot was based upon that. The world comes to be destroyed. Let's put it very simply. If you don't have men and women married to each other, if you don't have men and women building relationships with each other and appreciating those differences and coming to this beautiful place of completion where they are completing each other, you don't have a future world. There's no ability to continue to have children. It's that simple, which tells you that's obviously what's MS. It's obviously what the world is supposed to be. So we have to appreciate the beauty of every man and the beauty of every woman and recognize it's not better or worse, but there are differences. And when there are differences and there's different midos and different makeup, then there are differences as well, clearly, there are differences as well in Avodas Hashem and the way that we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and what our role in Avodas Hashem is. And that's so important, and when we appreciate that, we can live up to why we're placed in this world, which is ultimately will be fulfilling our purpose. And only if I'm fulfilling my purpose, I'm going to be ultimately as besimcha as I can be. I'm never going to be as happy as I can be in life when I'm trying to be someone I'm not supposed to be. When I'm trying to be someone else. It's only when I'm living up to myself and my purpose and why Hashem has placed me in this world that I can be ultimately as besimcha as I can be. Okay, let's learn. With such an introduction, let's learn. It's heavy, but mamish emes. You ready? Mamish important Torah. So we have to understand, when it comes, we just started Bereishis and new Talmud Torah, and we all know, and we'll say it as it is, because again, we could say it, because we do appreciate women learning Torah. That being said, the role of sitting and learning Torah is more so for a man than for a woman. That's the Avodah. Now based upon that, there's a pasuk that's very, very difficult. In Parshas Yisro, prior to Kabbalah Torah, prior to the Aseret HaDibros, the pasuk says as follows, it should be familiar to each and every one of you. Umosha ala Elokim vayikra elav Hashem min ahar lemar. Moshe went up to Hashem, and Hashem called him from the mountain saying, Ko somar lebeis Yaakov v'saged lebnei Yisrael. So you should say to Beis Yaakov and tell Bnei Yisrael. It's pretty repetitive, right? You should say to Beis Yaakov and tell Bnei Yisrael. That's redundant. So if you look in Rashi there, it's referring to two different types of people, men and women. Beis Yaakov, as many schools are called based on this pasuk, it's based on this pasuk. Beis Yaakov, Rashi tells us, is Elu HaNashim. These are the women. Bnei Yisrael is referring to the men. The question is as follows. Hashem's about to give over Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu to tell over to Bnei Yisrael, to tell over to all of us, to Beis Yaakov, Bnei Yisrael. If the chiyuv of Talmud Torah is more so specific to men than women, if Nashim are peturos make Talmud Torah, even though obviously you all know you're mechuyev in many areas of Talmud Torah, when it comes to Tanakh, when it comes to Machshava, to Musar, to all halacha that applies to you, it's plenty to do. When you finish all of that, you can come to me, we'll discuss what to do afterwards, you know? There's plenty to do before even that you're mechuyev in as women. But the chiyuv is more so for men. There's no chiyuv for any of you to learn through Shas and learn through Gemara and learn through Mishnayos. So why would then Beis Yaakov come first? Why would Beis Yaakov come first? Why would the women, Hashem's giving over Torah and telling Moshe you're going to give over Torah to Bnei Yisrael, and first, Kisomer Beis Yaakov and then Vesagel Bnei Yisrael? Why the women first? You think, when coming to Talmud Torah, the women would be secondary. More of the chiyuv is our men. Again, not secondary because there's a secondary role overall, but as we explained before, a different role. Oh, so we have to understand. So this is a Zohar that you all have heard. And a Zohar is Kabbalah, but and I'm sure you haven't gone through inside, but this is a very famous Zohar that's often quoted. And the Zohar says, and it's based, there's some Remez L'davar in the first word of the Torah, which we read this past Shabbos, that there are 600,000 letters in the Torah. Keneged the 600,000 souls of Bnei Yisrael. Now, there are more than 600,000 people in Bnei Yisrael. There are like 13 million Jews today. However, there are your foundation neshamos, not to get into the depth of it, but there are gilgulim and reincarnations and neshamos that split in different ways. It's a lot of deep ideas. But the core neshamos of Klal Yisrael are 600,000 neshamos. And keneged that, there's 600,000 letters in the Torah. And we see that in the word Bereishis. Bereishis, the letters, the Rashi Tevos, could also tell us, Yesh Shishim Riboy Oisios Bitar. Yesh Shishim Riboy Oisios Bitar. Our Rashi Tevos, if you scramble them, Bereishis, right? Yesh Shishim Riboy Oisios Bitar. There are 600,000 letters in the Torah. Now, first of all, right away, that's problematic. Because if you sat and you counted through a Torah, there aren't 600,000 letters in the Torah. they're a little over half of that. There are a little over 300,000 letters in the Torah. So the Mefarshim say, and this is a beautiful idea, that when we say there's 600,000 letters in the Torah has its pshat, and the Torah then immediately has a targum, has a deeper understanding of the Torah. So each letter has its letter itself and has the deeper understanding of the letter. So every letter really has a duality to it. So the pshat with the drush, the pshat with the targum, the pshat with its deeper understanding that we're always trying to delve into. So if you add that together, it's ki'ilu, there are 600,000. Because it has what's nigla and what's nister in every letter, what's revealed and what's hidden. And this, that's something so beautiful, because if you stop and think about it, right, this past week was Parshas Bereishis. We all have learned Bereishis before, and before that, and before that. And we're learning it again. Because the Torah, the Chachma of Torah, the wisdom of Torah, the beauty of Torah, of learning Torah, is that it's so deep and it's never ending. And it's Chachma Elokis, it's the wisdom of Hashem that has no ends. And we can always see more beauty in it, more depth in it. And that's represented by the other half of the letter, in a sense. Okay, that's just an idea I wanted to share. But here's something else we have to understand. The Pasuk in Parshas Bo tells us, Vayisu b'nei Yisrael miramseh sukosa. B'nei Yisrael, the initial nation of B'nei Yisrael, when they left Mitzrayim, they were traveling. And how many were they? And this is the source of that Zohar. Kishesh meos elef ragli. They were 600,000 traveling through the desert. That's the initial neshamas that we're talking about. The foundation, right? 600,000 neshamas were walking. But 600,000 neshamas, the pasuk ends, that's hagvarim levad mitof. That's referring to the men. Not including children, and not including women. So now we have to understand, what's pshat? Zohar says 600,000 neshamos keneged, the 600,000 letters in Torah. Even if you look at the foundation of Judaism, forget about us today, we're the 12 million, okay, that, as we said, reincarnations and neshamos splitting, whatever it might be. But even the initial source is only the men and not the women and the children. Do you as women not have a makar in the Torah? Are you not connected to Torah in that beautiful way? That's such a beautiful idea, I didn't explain it, but that every person has a letter in the Torah. It's telling you that each and every one of us is so deeply connected to Torah, so deeply connected to Hashem, so deeply connected to Ruchnius. We're there, we're sourced in the Torah, we're a part and parcel of the Torah. It's awesome, it's beautiful. But what's women? Oh, that's only for the men? Could that be? Is that possible? Now the children, that's okay, because the children are not yet mechuyev in Torah, are not obligated in Torah, not yet, don't have that connection yet. So that we left the children out of this equation, that we could understand, that we could accept. Right? Children are not obligated in mitzvahs yet. Children are too young, they don't have the proper das. We understand that. So they're not part of the initial understanding of 600,000 neshamas connected to the letters in Torah. But women shouldn't be, wouldn't be. What's pshat? What about the women? So one idea we could explain is a beautiful other Zohar. And you've all heard this in different ways, maybe not from the Zohar. But that ultimately the Zohar says, I'll read you the line, begin didchar bila nukva pilag gufa ikre. A man without a woman is only considered half a body. A man without a woman is only half a body. In other words, what? That ultimately a man and a woman, as we explained before, and this is Pashat. And by the way, just to put out there, because I brought up the topic and not to now to get into the depth of it, but those who struggle in such areas, we obviously are sensitive and emotional and empathetic to individuals who biologically, you know, deal with these issues that we were alluding to before. But we know and we what the way of the world's supposed to be. And understanding how to deal with that bitzina in a modest way is very, very important. And be empathetic and caring and respectful in a modest way. Understanding what the way of the world is supposed to be. But getting back again, so the Zohar says, begin didchar b'la nukva pala gufa ikre. a man without a woman is only a half a body. Meaning what? So ultimately, Bez Hashem is Baruch, each and every one of you is going to stand underneath a chuppah. Some of you already Baruch Hashem have. And you stand in the chuppah, it's not like I'm getting married. I'm becoming one. I'm becoming one. We are one. It's not that you have a man and a woman, 1 + 1 = 2, but I believe there's some title of some book out there like this, on marriage, 1 + 1 = 1. 1 + 1 = 1, ultimately. We complete each other in that marriage. We become one. I was thinking that word, I think I mentioned it once before, there was a movie back from my high school days. It was one of these movies with a love story between a man and a woman going back and forth. They were together, they broke up, you know. Maybe you haven't, like, half the movies there are out there. And there was one of these scenes, and they were like, I don't remember it so well. Obviously, it's going back, you know, it's going back 22, 23 years, whatever it was. And at one point, they're trying to, like, get back together at an emotional point, and one of them is trying to chop the other one, and says, "You complete me." In a very emotional way, "You complete me." It stuck with me in such a beautiful way of what a marriage should be, what a relationship should be. We're not looking for our mirror images. We already have ourselves, right? We have to complete each other and we become one together in a very beautiful way. And giving to each other. The charb lo nukva palagufikri. So we become one. And if we become one, that one letter, connected to 600,000 men, is for the women as well. Because all those men are going to end up with 600,000 women and be one guf. So you only need one letter for each union, for each couple. You only need one letter because they're one. As the famous story goes with Rav Aryeh Levine, Zatzal, the tzaddik of Yerushalayim. You all have heard this, I'm sure. And he walked into the doctor once with his wife, whose leg was hurting her very badly, and says to the doctor, "We're here because our leg hurts." He lived it. He felt it. So that's one idea. That's one idea that's definitely true and definitely real. But that letter itself, can we understand it a little bit deeper? How we look at that letter and what chilek of that letter is for the man, what chilek of that letter is for the woman? Is that all just one? Because obviously, again, like I said before, we have different roles and we have different purposes. So here we're going to get a little bit deeper. There's a medrash. The Zohar talks about this in many times, in many places as well, but I'm going to read it to you from a Medrash. The Medrash says, Amar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, HaTorah Nidna LeMoshe, the Torah that we began this past Shabbos Kodesh was given to Moshe. Oira Shel Eish Levana Uksuva BeEish Shchaira. It's skin, which means the parchment. The cloth is of white fire, and the written letters are black fire. The Torah is black fire upon white fire. You have the oisiyos, and you have the cloth. But they're both eish. The fire represents this passionate ruchnius of connection to Hashem that the Torah gives to us. They're equally important. The letters and the cloth. And you have the letters which are black fire upon the cloth which is white fire. Without the letters, you have blank pieces of paper. Without the cloth, you have no foundation to write those beautiful letters that make up the Torah upon. So they're both equally important. And that's why the Gemara Moed Katan says that if you see a Sefer Torah that's destroyed when it's being ripped, you have to tear kriya, like we do by Lo Aleinu, God forbid, a dead body. But it says you should tear two kriyos. You should tear kriya twice, the Gemara says. Once on the gvil, on the parchment, and once on the ksav, on what's written. In other words, both the ksav and the gvil, the written words, the black fire, and the parchment, the white fire, are equally chashiv, are equally important. It's true. It's the words that make up all the mitzvahs, that make up all the storylines. But if there's no foundation, there are no words. The klaf is the foundation. The klaf is the support. The klaf is what gives ability to have words written on it. So comes the Shvila Pinchas, or Pinchas Friedman, Rabbi Umayri, have this chus to be so close to. It's one of the biggest chusim. And the Shvila Pinchas explains, and he suggests, that when we understand this black fire and white fire, which, let me tell you, the Zohar goes at length and talks a lot upon, how precious this fire is, which is the makeup of the Torah. The letters, the black fire, represent the man. The klaf, the parchment, the white fire, represent the women. Every letter is its letter which you see, but it's upon, underneath it. You don't see it any longer, but it has a foundation of what? Of white fire, of parchment. And in between the letters, you see the parchment. That represents the woman's place in the letter. That represents the woman's place. The woman's place in the letter. And the woman's place, therefore, in Torah. And the woman's place in this world is represented by the parchment, by the white fire. Which again is equally chashuv, equally important to the black fire. But we have to understand what this means. We have to understand what it means. We have to understand what that white fire is and appreciate that white fire. Because sometimes I want to be the black fire. I want to be the letters. Again, there are no letters without the white fire. And that's what it means in this week's parsha. In Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Ches. Vayoyimer Hashem Elokim. Hashem, our God, who we... That's the one who knows better than any of us what the role that we should be playing in this world is. He's the one who placed us here. He's the one who created us. Vayomer Hashem Elokim, Lo tov heyos ha'adam levado. It is not good for man to be alone. Eslo ezer kenegdo. Create a woman as an ezer kenegdo. What does that mean? What does the word ezer mean? You all know. As a helper. As something to help him. To help him stand up. To help him fulfill whatever purpose he has. To be the foundation of the man. To be the ground that allows him to stand. To be the support of that man, which is equally chashuv and equally important. And that's what the klaf is. The klaf is the support. The klaf is the foundation. And the klaf, that white fire, is the role of the woman. And the woman is the one that allows that man to fulfill all he's supposed to be fulfilling. And is equally important, and therefore she has a chelek, not only in all that she's doing good, in all that he's doing as well. And that's what Rabbi Akiva meant, shal li. It's all hers. Because Rabbi Akiva only became a Rabbi Akiva. And you know what, I don't know, anyone in this room ever learn any Torah from Rachel? You ever learn any Torah from Rachel, from his wife? You ever see anything she ever said? Any Torah she wrote? We learn plenty from Rabbi Akiva, right? But what gave Rabbi Akiva the ability to become a Rabbi Akiva? What gave Rabbi Akiva the ability to go learn for 24 years the way he did? Well, bit all Rachel, and therefore it's all hers. She was the support. She was the foundation. She was the one home, taking care of the children, and cooking dinner, and cleaning, and doing whatever needs to be done so he could sit and learn. And not, by the way, not that Chas v'Shalom, I tell all my Talmidim, they should be cleaning and they should be doing all this as well. But we have to know where our, and taking care of the home and doing what they need to be doing and earning the living and the primary obligation, as we see in this week's parsha, of supporting the family comes from the husband, not from the wife, financially. That being said, the primary role in Avodas Hashem for a woman is to be that white fire and to be an ezer to her husband and allow him to sit and learn and allow him to grow in his learning. And not that you can't learn as well and daven as well, but there has to be that support. And that's what it means to be a white fire upon holding up the black fire. And again, it's equally chashuv. Don't look at the problem becomes where people feel that's inferior. That's just as important to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's going to give me my place in Gan Eden, just like the guy sitting learning Shas 20 times. I have the schuss tonight, right after we finish, to go to Siyum HaShas, my close friend, Rabbi Yoni Levin. He makes a Siyum HaShas every single year. Finishes Shas every year. We're about in a few months to Daf Yomi finishes Shas, right? That's once every 7.5 years. Beautiful, awesome. He does it every year. Every year. Who has all the schusim of that? His wife. His Eish Yischael. His Eish Yischael has the schusim. Just as much as he does. Now, I'm not sure she's holding in Chula and in Nida and all these Masechtas, even one word. I shouldn't say, maybe she is, I don't know. I'm not sure, I just said I'm not sure, I have no idea. I'm sure what all of our assumption is, right? But she's the white fire upon that black, that the black fire is upon. And that's the Avodah, and that's just as precious and just as special. We said over once here before, that's Shiras Miriam. In Parshas Bishalach, right after Oz Yashir, right after Oz Yashir, that we say every single day. So we have Shiras Miriam, and it starts by Tan Lehem Miriam. Tan Lehem Miriam. Miriam answered. Sus V'rachvo Rama Vayam. The horse and its rider drown in the sea. If you look in those psukim, V'tan Lehem Miriam, we don't see any question. We don't see that anyone asked anything. So what V'tan Lehem? What was she answering? And what is this answer? That the horse and its rider drown in the sea? So I once saw such a beautiful pshat. We had, you see, it's Mitzrayim, Tamakos, Kriyas Yamsuf, and we're singing, we're dancing. All of this was eventually for culmination of Kabbalah's Torah. So that we could connect Hashem always through Torah. Without Torah, it's all meaningless. So we're free. We're free to do what all day? So the women came to Miriam. And the women said, what about us? What do we have to celebrate? What do we have to celebrate if we don't have a connection to Torah like men? If we don't have the chiyuv to learn Torah like men, what do we have to celebrate? V'atan lem Miriam sus v'roch v'romayam. Look back. You see the horse and its rider drowning of the mitzrim? The rider is the Egyptian trying to come kill us. The horse was its support. They both drowned together. Halach has kam v'kama when it comes to mitzvahs. Not only the one learning Torah, but the support of that Torah is just as chashiv, is just as important. The schar is going to be in the same place. The reward is going to be in the same place. And this is why even women are first by our Sinai. First and foremost, primarily, we need women being that foundation. We need women who are base Yaakov, taking care of the bias, so that what? So that there can be that foundation. There could be that white fire, so there could be a black fire that's ridden. That comes first. Shmuel Pinchas says it was such a beautiful gematria. If you take the gematria, this is an incredible one. This is one like mom is incredible. If you take the gematria of os, the letter, aleph of tav, and klaf, the parchment, kuf lamed pei. So os, aleph of tav, is 407. Klaf is what? It's 210. 210. 407, 210 is 617. Kuf lamed pei is 617. Os plus klaf is 617. Exactly gematra, ish plus isha. Ish and isha. The man and the woman, ish and isha, is gematra, ois plus klaf, the letter plus the parchment. The ois is the man, the klaf is the woman. It's exact. And that's who women need to be in this world. And that's why it is, by the way, Bederech Drush, to understand, you have by an ufruf, a man is about to get married and create that completion with a woman. And he gets an aliyah to show that it's going to be a new Torah, because now he has letters that have a foundation. Now he has his white fire to go along with his black fire. And what do? The women throw bags. Throw sweets, throw candies. We're going to be your support for your Torah. We're going to be there to show the chashivas of Torah. We're going to be there to understand it. the black fire upon the white fire. And a chasana, maybe this is, I don't know. And a chasana, what do women wear? Women all wear white. You have a white gown. What do men wear? Men wear black. Because women are the white fire, and men are the black fire. And they're coming together for that time underneath their chuppah. The black fire to be upon the white fire. The two esh, the two fires. And that's as well what we see, the very famous Gemara in Sota, Darash Rabbi Akiva, Ish V'Isha, when you have a man and a woman, Zachu Shechina V'Neihem, Lo Zachu Eishol Chlasan. If they're good and they have the Rabbon Hashem with them, so the Shechina will be there. And what does everyone explain how? Because Ish and Isha, you have a Yud and you have a Hey. That's the difference. Yud Hey is Hashem. If Hashem is there, they have the Shechina. Otherwise, if you don't have Hashem there, if you take away the Yud Hey, what are you left with? Eish, you're left only with fire. But wait a minute, even if you use the Yud-Heh, you still have two at times Eish. You take the Yud out of the man, you're left with Eish. You take the Hey out of the woman, you're left, so you have the Yud-Heh. And then you have Eish and Eish. Because when you have Hashem, you have the black fire and you have the white fire. Those are the two Eish. The Gemara doesn't explain, right? Those are the two Eish. The black fire upon white fire. And this is the vote of every woman. The vote of every woman is to be that support, to be that white fire, and understand how chashiv that is. To understand how special that is. To understand that when you have a husband that wakes up early to sit and learn, and you have a husband that goes out at night to sit and learn, and you have children, you have sons, and you send your sons to yeshiva, and you learn with them, and you teach them, and you encourage them to be one with Torah. You're their support. You're their chizik. You're their hisoris. You're their white fire. So they could be their black fire. That's one way of understanding your avodah. That's one way. But there's much more to your avodah. And I believe there's another way to understand the black fire of a man and the white fire of a woman. All we said until now is emes, and that's, I think, a big chelek of who each and every one of you should be and needs to be and to live up to. But even if you appreciate that, and even if you appreciate how special that is, and even if you appreciate it's just as chashiv as the black fire and as the letters and as the ones learning, still, let's be real, let's be honest. As much as you could be makabel, it's leaving something. Like, I want to be more than that. As a woman, I want to be more than that. What about, but where does that come? What about my own avoda? What about my own learning and my own davening and my own chesed? This is all in my relationship to a man, which I'm willing to accept and connect to, and not just accept, understand how precious it is. What a beautiful, and that's a beautiful role. And it's just as chashiv as the black letters, and you can't have black letters without, we all understand this. But is that everything? That can't be everything. Because there also has to be my individual relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there also has to be my own davening, and my own learning to whatever degree I can, and chesed, and Torah mitzvos, and tznius. Where does all that play a role? Now, if you think about it deeply, that could all also be a foundation for my home, and for my children, for my husband. But what about my own? Is that all that it is? Which, again, that's not, you know, saying it, that's all. That could be very precious and amazing and special. But we're not going to end here. And I believe there's more to your avodah. Everything we said till now, that's at least 50% of what the game plan should be. And who every one of you needs to be and live up to and appreciate and cherish. It's an incredible role. It's a beautiful role. It's the foundation of all of Judaism. But there's more to your avodah. And there's more to what the white fire and black fire in the Torah represent. And there's more to your white fire compared to my black fire. And listen, there were two children that grew up in Europe and they were inseparable. They went to yeshiva together, they played together, they learned together, they chavrusas, and they both grew up to be big rabbis. One became the Vorka Rebbe, and one became the Triska Rebbe. They were very, very close. And they made a promise to each other they lived a journey away from each other. It was maybe an hour journey, let's say. Not crazy, doable, but... And this is 200 years ago. There were no... Forget about cell phones. How would you communicate with people if you wanted to talk often and have a relationship? So they made a promise to each other. Every week, no matter what, they would each write to each other a letter. And they'd stay close in such a way. And have shilas to each other, talk to each other, whatever it might be. Tell each other what's going on by their Hasidic courts. So every week, what would be? There was a chassid, and it was a big honor. The chassid became this one particular chassid of the Vorka Rebbe. Every single Erev Shabbos, in the morning, the Vorka Rebbe would give him a letter. And he'd travel, he'd have to go through this forest until he got there. And he'd travel to Trisk. And he'd deliver the letter to the Triska Rebbe. And he'd wait there like a half hour. And the Triska Rebbe would write his own letter back. And he'd bring back a letter for the Vorka Rebbe. Every single Friday. Such close friends. For 15 years. Every Friday. Imagine this went on. What a kasher shel kayama. What a relationship between these two rebbes, these two tzaddikim. One week, the chassid is walking with the letter from the Vorka Rebbe to the Triska Rebbe. And he's walking through the forest. And after 15 years of doing this, it was an honor, especially, but he's thinking to himself, what are they writing to each other? Like, I'd love to see it. I'd love to see it. See these holy words, this holy conversation. And he says, but I can't open the Rebbe's letter. Mamish, you know, that would be like, completely forget about Usher. It's just like, how could I do such a thing? And Baruch Hashem, he convinced himself he can't. He delivered that week. The next week, the taiva, the temptation got even much stronger. He's in the middle of the forest. He goes off behind a tree and he opens the letter. He couldn't handle it. He knew it was wrong, but he just couldn't not do it. And he opens the letter and he couldn't believe his eyes. It's completely blank. Not a word. So strange could it be? He thinks to himself now for all these years he's carrying blank pieces of paper. That's his Erev Shabbos. He goes all the way he delivers it to the Triska Rebbe. Triska Rebbe, he waits about a half hour. Triska Rebbe gives back a letter. He's walking back. He's like, I have to see maybe Triska Rebbe writes back. Maybe there's like, he opens up this completely blank. Not a word. Not one or two sentences. Zero blank. And he's mamish beside himself. He can't believe this is what he's doing. He's delivering blank pieces of paper. Such wasted time. And this is what's going on with these rebbes. And that Shabbos, he comes, he can hardly look at his rebbe. He's so disgusted. He's so upset, but he can't say anything. Right? He can't say anything. He thinks to himself, maybe his eyes, who knows, maybe it's 1 week, whatever. Let's give it. Let's wait another week. The next week, he was like waiting all week to be able to bring the letters. And next week, he doesn't even stop to think about it. He gets into the forest. He opened up the letter. Blank piece of paper. Gets it for goes to Triska Rebbe, does his waiting game, walks back. Blank piece of paper. He couldn't believe his eyes. He says, Eibishter and Hemel. Stops. He says, this is what I'm doing 15 years. I'm wasting my life. I'm wasting my time. I'm delivering blank pieces of paper. How could these rebbes be torturing me? Really? This is what's going on. And how am I going to be able to tell them? What do I do? Goes Shabbos. That Shabbos, if you thought the first Shabbos, Imamish, it was like Gehenim. He couldn't go to the Tish. He couldn't look at the Rebbe. So distraught. Here I'll read you from the story that I have in front of me. Eventually, Matzei Shabbos, he goes to the Rebbe. He says, Rebbe, I have to talk to you. I must ask you forgiveness, but I have to talk to you. Rebbe, for 15 years, I've been carrying your letters to the Triska Rebbe. After all the time, 2 weeks ago, I opened your letter, I found a blank piece of paper. I did it again last week and again found a blank piece of paper. Rebbe, I'm so embarrassed that I opened your letter, yet I'm so troubled. They asked me to carry a blank piece of paper back and forth for 15 years. The Vorka Rebbe was known for his obvious Yisrael, looked gently at the troubled chassid. You needn't be so upset. Many times in the course of those years, I did send you with regular letters. And yes, sometimes with a letter that was totally blank. Let me explain. Says in the Zohar, our books of mystical knowledge, that the Torah is made of black fire written on white fire. And that the white fire is holier than the black fire. The black fire is, of course, the letters of the Torah, and the white fire is the parchment. How can the Zohar say that the white fire is holier than the black fire? Isn't it the letters that make up the Torah itself? So let me explain. There are two kinds of relationships one can have with Judaism. One relationship is definable. I'm connected to Judaism because I know this information about Judaism. I understand this truth about Judaism. I like this or that mitzvah. I do what's defined. I keep Torah. I keep mitzvahs. I learn Torah. I dress in a particular way. I act in a particular way. I keep Shabbos. I make brachas. The other relationship is undefinable. I'm Jewish because I'm infinitely connected to being Jewish. I cannot explain it in words. Yet I feel it with every aspect of my being. The letters of Torah, the black fire, represent the relationship I can explain. Just as I can read letters, understand and grasp them, so too the relationship. Yet the parchment's the white fire. Just as the parchment's clear or white, boundless, without any definition, so too is my relationship with Judaism. It's there, it touches the depth of who I am. Yet I have no words, no definition to explain it. It's above the written Torah. It's above any particular mitzvah. It's deep, it's emotional. That is why the Zohar says the white fire is holier than the black fire. Because the connection that one makes with Judaism with other people, which is explainable and definable, is not as deep or as sweet as the connections we make with Judaism with others, which are beyond definition. I grew up with the Trisker Rebbe. We were childhood friends and went through a great deal together. We are deeply connected to one another. Sometimes I do write him regular letters. But sometimes we just want to share with each other that we have no words to express how connected we feel. It is beyond words. Incredible. But understanding this story in light of the way that the Shulchan Aruch Pinchas explains the black fire and the white fire of the letters and parchment. And as we defined here tonight that the white fire is each and every one of you and the black fire is me. And first we gave pshat, which is emesh v'amito, and we have to live up to it as women being that foundation and being that support to the letters and to your husbands one day and to your sons one day. And how precious that role is. That's all emes. But there's something else the white fire means. The white fire means as women you have the ability to have a deep emotional relationship with Hashem that's not defined or bound by the black fire. It's not defined or bound by intricate mitzvos. It's not defined or bound by learning the black letters. It's much deeper, much sweeter, much more real, much more emotional. And don't lose sight of that. Of course, there are chiyuvim, and we have to keep Torah mitzvos. And of course, you should learn and what you should be learning. And of course, we should be connected as, although in its essence, you're white fire, I'm black fire, I have to connect to white fire, you have to connect to black fire. But don't forget your essence. And that's the reason why, when it comes to women, so women, for example, as you all know, are patur from mitzvahs, seishas, mangrama, you have less of a connection to the intricate details of the mitzvahs. It's not because, lo aleinu, God forbid, as some might think or say, that it's because of an inferiority. Pumfa keret. It's just the opposite. It's because you have the white fire. And you don't necessarily need the constant structure and limits it. That binds you into in that connection to Hashem. And you have to be a little more free and a little more emotional. And just let it be in that connection to Hashem. In that beautiful way. And not to feel bad if you're not as bound in the way that men are. Because that's who you are. You're the white fire. And live up to that. And that's why women naturally Have a deeper connection to davening, where you could let your soul just go and talk to Hashem. And it doesn't have to be limited to shacharis at a particular time, and mincha at a particular time, and ma'ariv at a particular time. It could be throughout the day, and it could be whenever is good for you. Because that's your white fire. And let it flow, and let it be. And appreciate it. And don't try to limit yourself in ways that you're not supposed to be. And that's what it is to be that white fire. To have that emotional, deep connection to Hashem that sometimes is beyond the black letters itself. And beyond the limits of the mitzvahs themselves. And beyond the letter of the law, the spirit of the law. That is so much sweeter and so much more special. And we have to understand that, because this could be, if not understood well, could be dangerous, an idea like this. You have to be bound on some level. As I said, every white fire has to be connected to black fire, and every black fire has to be connected to white fire. There are certain areas we need to be connected so it doesn't become too free and we lose sight of what MS is. But still, your primary role as an Eved Hashem, as a woman, is to allow your white fire to burn bright, to allow your passion, to allow your emotions to flow, to feel that relationship with Hashem, which is what it's all about, and give that over to your children one day. And give that feeling over to your children, the emotions. The last letter of the Torah is a lamed, the first letter is a beis, to connect to the lev. The heart of the Judaism is the white fire. The emotions of the Judaism is the white fire. And don't try to be the black fire, because Ola Aleinu will lose our heart. So Be'ez Hashem is Baruch, each and every one of us. Each and every one of us has to just be MS to ourselves. And as we enter into Parshas Bereishis, Sefer Bereishis, a new year, with a new sense of chizuk, a new sense of inspiration that we gain through all the Yom Tovim that hasn't left us, like, because we didn't have Besamim. Let's live up to and appreciate our roles and what Hashem put us in this world. Let's appreciate what it is to be a white fire. Appreciate it is what it is to be that support, but just as important to be that emotion, to be that undefinable relationship with the Rabbeinu Shalom that I'm going to feel and I'm going to connect to and I'm going to give over to my children one day. So we continue to have the black fire upon white fire, which is the foundation of what it is to be a Jew. The foundation of what it is to be a Yid is that connection to Torah and a connection to the white fire and to the black fire of the Torah. Until we're zoicha to all feel it constantly. As HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals Himself in the most open of ways, with the Gula Shleima, with Bias Mashiach, B'mehera B'yameinu. We should have a beautiful, amazing week, everyone. Mm-hmm.